Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
For your eyes only. It's Roger Moore as Ian Fleming's James Bond 007.
Spy ship sunk in the Ionian Sea. She was equipped with ATAC.
Have we begun a salvage operation?
We asked Sir Timothy Havelock to secretly locate the wreck. He and his wife were killed by Hector Gonzalez. Police were able to identify Gonzalez by Melina, Sir Havelock's daughter.
Explosive. Exclusive.
Oh, I trust you, Helicon.
For your amazement, this Bond is for you.
Oh, by the way, we haven't been properly introduced, Melina. My name is Bond. James Bond.
Hello and welcome to Smash Pod, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them. Hosted by me, John Rain. This week we'll be picking up mines, going out on the piste, all while avoiding the attention of underage women. Yes, it's for your eyes only. And joining me to get chatted up by a perverted parrot while we think of Thatcher is Paul Litchfield.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Paulathan.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
I know, you wanted to before.
This was my original choice, yeah. But you'd already cast Malcolm McLaren.
Malcolm
McLaren, you talked about it at length. Mm. So I'm really glad you're doing them again.
Yeah, me too.
Are your listeners really glad you're doing them again?
I hope so. They better be.
How many have you done said far?
Well, this series?
Yeah.
About
the Bonds.
About eight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going in chronological order?
No, I'm not.
Just doing how you want it.
I'm just going to chuck them out where they want.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pound.
Straight in already. Straight in with carry-ons. Why not? Carry-on Bond. Come on.
Well, for your eyes only, this reminds me. Do you remember the old Yellow Pages advert?
Which one?
The French Polisher one.
Yes.
This film reminds me of that because you've got...
What?
Well, bear with me.
All
right. Moonraker, right? They go to space.
Yes.
You can't get any higher than space.
Can't.
I think the morning after Moonraker, they probably all woke up and thought, oh, fucking hell. They probably all felt a bit shit.
Oh, I see.
Well, we need to take it back to basics.
We ruined Cubby's house.
We ruined everything. Yeah.
We shat in the fountain.
We shat in the Cubby memorial fountain.
And we drank all his port.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What are we going to do? Let's go back to basics.
John Glenn's first Bond directing gig.
Yeah, and he'd been working before, hadn't he, on the films?
Yeah, he was like an editor.
All right, so not catering. I'll cross that out.
No, not catering.
Stuntman catering. No.
No.
Okay, so this was he was given his first directing chops.
Yep, and he wanted to take it back to basics.
He did, yeah. They literally talked about that, didn't they? Saying, come on, we've got to sort of get back to the original Ian Fleming-y Bond.
Yeah, give it a hard edge again.
Yeah. And I think this, out of the Bonds I remember, has the least amount of gadgets, really. It's very pared down.
Mm.
In fact, the best gadget, really, is the first gadget we see, and that's not Bonds.
Yes.
Nor is it Smash's, because it's not officially Blofeld, is it?
No.
We're not allowed, but it's Blofeld.
It's Blofeld,
because he's in a wheelchair with a cat.
Yeah.
And he's always looked like that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we start off with Bond visiting Tracy's grave.
I know, and that's, you know, that's the first time he's acknowledged her in a while.
Yeah. Obviously, he didn't love her very much. That grave's a bit shit, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Yeah, you'd give her like a grandiose tomb, wouldn't you?
Sorry, and the graffiti on it that he wrote is terrible.
Yeah.
Dead bitch. Adder. I mean, why write that?
Adder.
Adder. Because of his snake obsession.
No, not Adder.
I know. Sorry.
He wrote Adder.
He wrote Adder, and then... That's if you go around the back, it says Python.
So, that's his graffiti tag name.
I really like to write different species of snake onto memorials. Okay, okay, if that's what you really want to do. Yes.
It's a hobby.
So, yeah, it starts, and you think, oh, gosh, that's a bit of a kick in the stomach, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bit of a doleful beginning.
Also, we got the gun barrel with the added cowbell with Bill Conti.
Oh, I mean, shall we address it? Let's just address Bill already, because I think the reason why I really like this film, because it's not a particularly amazing Bond film, but I think it is because of Bill Conti, because I've never heard. I think, except for maybe a theremin, he used every other instrument that he could find.
Yes.
He put an orchestra, I'd imagine in like a cargo ship container, with every instrument in the world.
Yeah.
Flew that cargo container over to Cairo, put it on top of a pyramid, let it row down the steps and recorded the fucking noise. Because everything's in it.
Mm.
It's even got a moment which is based on flugelhorns, which is stunning.
Yeah.
More flugelhorn. Fuck more cowbell. Yeah. More flugelhorn.
More flugelhorn.
It's got flugelhorns in it.
Yeah.
And bongos.
Yeah.
This is the Alpine section, which we'll get to later, which is this weird 8 to 10 minute Brian Eno-ish, sort of hellish dystopia landscape, and it's just come after a song that sounds like someone's just had a stroke at a carnival. It's just mental. Bill Conti just literally, I think in this one we'll have synthesizers, we'll have a harp, we'll have 15 piccolos.
Yeah.
Roger, could you piss down your trombone and we'll record that? Yeah, all right. Just every sound you can imagine he throws at it. And for that, I adore it.
Mm.
I love it. And also, I love it when in a film, the incidental music of what's going on or the music to sort of, there's two really amazing pieces of music in this. One's called Runaway, which is when he's skiing and he goes down the toboggan.
Bing bong.
That's the Brian Eno-y bit before on and on and on with the flugelhorn.
Yeah.
So there's Runaway, and then there's the Gonzales Takes a Ride, which goes into the fantastic Citroen Chase music, which is also stunning.
Yeah.
And that just goes to places I just don't think music should ever go to in a Bond film.
No.
It's amazing. But at one point in Gonzales Takes a Drive, to denote all the action that's going on in the car, the music then segs into a brief James Bond sting, and it's stunning.
It's great.
Where it goes... It's just beautiful.
Mm.
I love it. And then it goes into a really brassy one right towards the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like he took mescaline with, who's the guy who did a Little Spanish Fly or Flea or...
Herb Albert.
Yeah, it's like him and Herb Albert took mescaline and just, whatever they could find, they just banged and recorded it. I loves it. I loves it. I loves it so much, I've used some of the music in my own ridiculous personal career. There's a fantastic guy, which I'm sure listeners will all know, a bloke called Wayne Shepherd, who won the Perrier Newcomer a few years back for his character Gary Lestrange, who was this stunning 1980s pop act.
Yeah.
And off the success of that and several Edinburgh shows and all the other work he did, he decided to set up a comedy night called Club Lestrange. And I used to play his nemesis. He had another 80s-based musical nemesis called Philip. And I played Philip, and we would argue on stage, and we clearly hated each other. And I would sing various songs and ballads that I made up. And one of the tunes I used was Runaway, which I then put lyrics to. And it was called The Schizoid Trucking Man, and it made zero sense, but I just adored doing it.
Is that the one that
goes... Trumpets. And then... Studio guys in the 70s smoking reefers. Yeah, this is fucking cool, man! I just love it.
Yeah.
And it's 1981, but it sounds like it's 1972.
It really does.
I loves it. I tell you, I loves it.
So I'm wondering if Bill Conti got this gig because of Rocky.
I have no idea. Rocky I tried two. To sort of think about how he got that.
Because if you were
community
to the Rocky,
service, maybe? He maybe. Was forced to do it?
The Rocky 2 soundtrack's a bit disco-y as well.
Yeah.
So it's around the same time, I think.
Did Hamlish do music as well?
Yeah, he did The Spy Loved Me.
And that's got slightly the same sort of overtones, but nowhere near as insane.
No.
like a Mardi Gras that's going on for like 9 years.
Yes. but when Bond's visiting his grave,
yes,
his wife's dead grave.
Tracy. Oh. I'm Bond and this is Tracy.
Tracy.
Hello. You know, I see you know his nibs then. I don't know where he bloody goes.
Sorry, she's been drinking again.
I'll have another Campari, please. What are you having, love? Oh, I'll have a vodka. No, you bloody won't. You'll have a bitter like everyone else. Honestly, comes in people's houses, asks for things they haven't got. Rude.
That explains the grave. But a priest comes out and tells them that he's needed... he's needed at HQ for something very important.
And then proceeds to give him his last rites.
His last rites.
Which you think, that's a bit portentful.
If I was Bond, after I'd done what I did in a minute, I'd go back to that priest and I'd kick him right in the balls. That's for giving me the last rites.
I'm going to rip the dog collar off you and shove it up your... Yeah. So, no, you should go around and duff him up a bit.
Duff him up, definitely.
Duff him up a bit and then do a joke like, God hates you.
You know who should have played...
bleak joke when he kills him. Not actually a pun, but called burn in hell.
You know you should have played that priest, don't you?
Go on.
Peter Butterworth.
Well, we're collecting, you see, for the church roof. Well, how much should I put in? Pound. Per tile.
And we've started.
And we've stammer off.
Oh, God.
Where's he gone? He's gone for a pew. Hey! Could be pee. Could be pee.
There's actually two priests. The first one that comes out is Jack Douglas.
Hey! Today we will sing hymn number 400. Hey, hey. Falls into font. Get off. Which he says to God. Get off.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so he gets in the helicopter. And he's being taken to an location. He's being watched.
He is.
By Blofeld, we assume.
We assume, but or not, it not, could be, not for legal reasons, it's not. But clearly
could be
it is.
NTV. And you're on now. James Bond, you thought you were going on a mission.
Wow.
Now.
So No Lemons has got him and a gotcha.
The Wurzels are coming round and you're going to sing a song with them.
He gets gunged at the end. By Mr. Blobby.
Oh, who's actually in that
Imagine
wheelchair?
Tipping Mr. Blobby down a chimney. Oh, if only.
Blobby!
Come on, children in need. You can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. They've done worse.
This is the most bizarre pre-opening sequence for any Bond film ever.
Well, also dark as well.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, dark.
But he literally tips a disabled man down a chimney.
I know.
Yeah.
And isn't there a sound effect of like...
Yeah. Yeah. Because he goes, Mr. Bond!
And of course, as you've already mentioned in your book, it's amazing the pleading that the non-Blofeld says. Yeah. Something about a stainless steel kitchen.
I'll buy you a delicatessen in stainless steel.
Just insane. What? I mean, obviously, that must have been improvised. That can't be a lie.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all say silly things when we're about to be dropped down the chimney.
When we're in peril.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last words are often not great, aren't they?
It's just stunning.
John F. Kennedy's was... Remind me to buy some sausages when we get back.
Oh, God. Kenneth Williams has said, what's the bloody point?
That's right.
Yeah, so he...
Attention seeking.
He could have said that.
That's a Facebook post, isn't it?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
And then lots of people... You're all right, Ken?
You okay, hun?
No, no. Heart-shaped emojis. Yeah. Oh, no! Send me one that looks like a bum! Oh, right, I have to send Kenneth Williams bum emojis to stop him killing himself. Oh, this is like admin. This is horrible admin.
It is. Idiot admin. The most
sadistic typographer we know.
I want you to see filing admin. In a fire.
I tell you what, once idiot admin had you in his hands.
Exactly.
File this! But this is not in alphabetical order. Exactly! Oh, Iddy.
Oh, you devious.
Iddy admin.
No wonder you're a tyrant.
This is all in Courier. Put it in Times New Roman. Ha, 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 ha. He's also Count Dracula.
I like that. I was going to say, I imagine him wearing a cape. Iddy admin.
Iddy admin. I can imagine, like, Wordy from Words and Pictures. loads of letters and numbers all over him. Idiot admin. Instead of pockets on his coat, he's got little files and drawers.
I imagine him doing Summer Season with that magician who was married to Victoria Wood.
Ali Bongo?
No, not Ali Bongo.
Great
Stupendo.
Is it Stupendo?
I think it was,
yeah. Okay.
Great Stupendo, Idi Admin, Blackpool. Matinee.
Limited season only.
Compared by Dustin G.
Oh, Christ. Compared by Duncan Norvell.
I'm the Chicken Man.
Chase me. People, have I paid for this? Never mind, we got your money.
Ladies and gentlemen, Idi Admin. After he drops him down the chimney, we then get the song, which is controversial in a way because she's in the
she's in it
intro.
Yeah,
not been number four or since.
No, and it's a shame when they're in them because I think, you know, there's all sorts of joy that could, like, there's some point Sheena could have opened her mouth and a hand with a gun could have come out and taken her tongue. That sort of thing.
They had to do it for real, though.
Sorry, Sheena, we have to do this for real.
You have to put a severed hand in your mouth.
You have to sort of drill a hole in the back of your head, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
Oh, no, don't mind being hurt, she seemed to say.
Wasn't she in
Rent-A-Ghost? What?
That voice. Is that
Oh, I thought you meant Sheena Easton.
No, that voice.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's how everyone speaks in Scotland.
What was she called? Madame?
You knew.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah, please.
So after the credits, we then get this boring bit with the bloke having a fag on a boat.
Oh, I know.
Greek fishing boat.
And this all happens because of fishing ineptitude, isn't it?
Very much so.
Hey, we got a nicer catch today of the calamari.
It always reminds me, have you seen Naked Gun 2?
Yes.
You know the bit where the security guards in that bin, they're like, someone threw away a perfectly good clock.
Oh, right.
And he's like, oh, no wonder, it's the wrong time. And then he sets it and the explosion goes off. It's a bit like that. It's like, look what I've caught.
So they're like hauling out sardines to cook for lunch and they accidentally catch a landmine. He's a big sea anemone, this one!
It's a big fat fish, this
Look,
one.
He's angry, he's a ticking!
But this bloke, you'd give up smoking, wouldn't you? Because he has to smoke, then he has to go back in, down some stairs, through a door, through another door.
Right.
To keep it a secret door.
That's a lot to do as an actor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Smoke, make decisions, move.
Go back in, then get handcuffed to a computer.
Terrible.
The attack.
Yeah, the attack, which is all attack.
That's right.
It's almost the attack.
Yes.
All terrain attack transport.
All terrain attract cat.
The all terrain attract cat.
Attract cat.
Now see here, Bond, this thing can attract cats for 4,000 miles.
If that were to fall into enemy hands.
Oh, that's what I call pussy galore. Now you can't even mention her. She's not in it anymore.
Sid James is suddenly in it now.
Yeah, I'm M. Actually, I'm P. Well, I would be, wouldn't I?
He'd have been a good M, though.
What?
Sid James.
Well, he would have been Bond, wouldn't he?
Would he?
He would have been Bond if... who's the younger chap he used to do the films with him? He's in... He was the only young one in it.
Jim Dale.
Jim Dale would have possibly been Bond.
Yeah, he would have been.
But if not, they would have cast Sid in it, because, you know...
Mm. Charles Hawtrey as Q.
Charles Hawtrey as Q. Oh, don't touch that, etc. Poor old Hattie would be Moneypenny, wouldn't she?
Would.
But she'd be... She'd be pound of something to denote fatness, of course.
Yeah, she would have been.
It's a shame, but there you go.
Pound of lard.
Pound of lard. Morning, pound of lard. Oh, James. Exactly. It's all there.
Come on, Joey.
Bernard Bristol was a henchman.
She'd have been good in this.
Blowjob.
Blowjob.
You have to dress up as a woman and blow.
With a fez.
And blow James. Oh, blimey, not bloody likely. That would so happen. Ken obviously is Blofeld, but it'd be something like Blow...
Bumfelt.
Bumfelt, yeah. Mm. Going around on a little wheelchair, going over people's legs, going, oh, sorry. Do you want to see me do a wheelie? Or something like that. No, fucking no. I don't know, because it's not real.
No, it's not real.
But I wish to God it was.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised. Well, no, they did Karen Spying, didn't they? So
yeah, but that was...
But that was...
Not very good one.
No, not that good.
No.
Anyway,
so Bond goes to see the new M.
Yes.
Who's kind of a temporary M because Bernard Lee had just died. Lee,
and apparently he actually came into film, but he was so ill that he couldn't do it.
No.
And everyone thought, then we will not have an M for a while because Bernard is M. And that's really
They
lovely.
Say he's away on something or other.
Yeah, he's away dying, which is a horrible thing to say. No, they say he's on leave or something.
They replace him with a very grumpy M. Very good. Yes. Like really doesn't like Bond M.
I love it when, and it's in most of the films, whenever James turns up, whoever's in charge is immediately furious with him.
Yeah.
Even though if they just look at their dossiers or whatever, they go, oh, yeah, yeah, you saved the world last week from poisoning from Drax. That was very good of him.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he stopped Russia from... You know, if you look at Bond's track record, cut him a bit of slack. But maybe it's just the fact that he just keeps being caught on the job.
Yeah.
That's what infuriates M the most. He must be a bit of a prude.
He must
or
be.
Every, well, I suppose all the MI5, MI6 people are, aren't they?
Yes.
So they're all just, God damn it! They're always like the boss from a Frank Spencer sketch that just want him to get out, get out! They're just furious with Bond. Which I love.
I should say as well, before we meet Bond, I thought it's when Melina goes to her parents' boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's the sort of, and you don't really know what that's all about, but no. Basically they get shotted.
They do. They're
by a plane.
They're like sea archaeologists, aren't they?
They are, but they're sort of spies as well, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're working on a secret mission working to find mission. This boat.
That's right.
Yeah. And Hector Gonzalez that's shoots it. Them.
There's a lot of confusion about who's who in this film. There's lots of double agents or people pretending to be. And essentially, I think the film is about the main villain has just got a gripe with an old mate of his. And that's actually what the film's about.
Yeah, it is.
About two old mates who are no longer in favour with each other.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yeah, all right, let's go with that.
Also, the parrot is from a Carry On film, isn't it? Because it goes, give us a kiss. That's give us a true. Kiss.
Yeah.
Show us your knickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is sort of what's saying.
Which
at
was
the
in
end.
Carry On at Your Convenience, of course.
Yeah, exactly. With poor old.
Hattie.
She always played the dower.
Oh.
Mm.
It's not Sims. What was she called? She's brilliant. Oh, that's terrible. Can't remember her name.
Philippa.
Patsy Rowlands.
Patsy Rowlands.
There's always the simpering. Oh, always wanted a bit of nookie, but never had it.
No.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so they get murdered.
Yeah, and so then she's very upset.
Very.
Yeah, who's murdered my mum and dad?
Because she brings them presents. She brings her mum a dress.
She does.
And her dad a book.
She does, yeah.
The book's probably Wicked Willy.
I reckon the dress has already got hose in it for the bullets to go through.
But then
the
not...
book's called How Not to Get Shot.
Yeah.
And then she's literally into the camera, what a mistake to make her! Because she's also Italian.
Of course. Well, the M&S won't take that dress back with blood on it, will they?
No, they won't. No. Well, no, M&S are pretty good with returns.
Yeah, do you reckon?
Do you mind if I return this? It's been shot to shit and it's covered in blood. Certainly, madam. Got a receipt?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. They do it. Don't think you could pull that in W.H. Smith's. No way.
Well, they don't do returns anyway.
No. How are they still going?
I don't know. W.H.
Smith's. How are they still going?
I think they're a shadowy cabal money laundering
operation.
What's
going on there? Because I've been in a couple and they're empty all the time.
Mm.
Empty. Just vast, empty, just shelves full of material I don't want to read about.
And back to school.
Back to school basics.
Pencil
and
cases.
And then a pick and mix.
Yeah.
It's really out of date.
Yeah.
It's really odd. I thought they would have gone under, like so many. I don't want them to.
No.
But every time I go in them, they're just like an empty warehouse at the end of them.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're just stacking the latest cookery book.
They're run by top people.
Top people.
So Bond goes to see Grumpy M, and he basically asks him if he knows anything about it.
And he really does.
He really knows everything
really
about
it. He really knows his onions, doesn't he? Mm. And I think that also annoys him.
Yep.
Because he's a know-it-all.
Yeah. You fucking cunt.
Yeah. Little swat. I mean, why be angry with Bond? He's done his homework.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Honestly, just give him, just leave him be for a bit. He's done so many good things.
Yeah. But he has to go, he's been told to go and have a look at Hector Gonzalez.
Yes. Yeah.
So he heads out in the Red Lotus, which as a child, very excited about.
Yes, of course. And you think, wow, this is going to be brilliant. Oh, they're not going to use it at all.
No.
And that's, but I don't mind because what they do use is even better.
Well, he goes to Gonzalez's house and has a look through the bushes.
He does and gets caught.
Get a little look through the bushes.
He gets caught. And this is, we need to talk about this so much, this bit around the pool.
Yeah.
Because there's a track on the For Your Eyes Only list, which was written especially for the film, and it's called "Make It Last All Night."
Oh,
and it's by a group called Rage.
Oh,
and it's playing just in the background while Gonzalez is sunning himself with all these beauties wandering around, clinking cocktail glasses, and going, "Oh!" as water drips onto their bosoms in the hot son. And it's a very brief, it's like a literally a 10-second scene as Bond scans this haven of ravers.
Mm.
And this music's playing, but the track is about 4 minutes long.
Okay.
The lyrics,
okay,
not all of them, because if I read all of this to you, I think you might in this, it's a small room, and I think if I put a blonde wig on, you might make advances at me.
Okay,
it's that erotic. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I might try and read it as a really good friend of mine, Alan Bennett, because I think it might just give it a bit more cadence.
Please see.
So this is how Alan would read it. So this is "Make It Last All Night" by Rage. Try to hold it down and take it slow. Just enjoy the motion. If you just relax, oh, and push it back, there is no limitation. Oh, 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 can you feel it inside you? Oh, 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 can you feel it inside me too?
Now, that implies that they're maybe using dildos on each other,
yeah,
or something. That's fine, if that's what Bond wants to do.
Yeah.
Try to keep it up. Oh, and ease it in to get that good vibration. If you come too late,
something Bond's never had a problem with.
Nope.
No. You'll have to wait to get that good sensation. Ooh, 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 can you feel it, etc., etc.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't do any more.
No.
What a, please, if you've got time, play that to your loved one and spice up your lovemaking, because it's a beautiful, tender, yet erotic song about the things that Bond gets up to when the cameras are off.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful piece of music. Again, Bill Conti at some point went, can we have, like, some the most pornographic song we can get away with? I know, just the man, or men, Rage.
Who then went on to be Rage Against the Machine, of course.
Of course, yeah, famously went on, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, and ease it in.
Yeah, the party round Gonzalez's pool reminds me of that bit in Boogie Nights where that girl turns up to the party and takes too much coke and her nose bleeds out. You can imagine her sitting in the background there.
Yeah, just screaming, and they're all like, shush, shush. Oh, you're bringing the mood down, Tanya.
Controversially, though, this is one of the ladies here.
Yes.
Was
not a lady.
A lady boy.
Yeah, Caroline Cossey. This was her name. Yeah, and she got a job as one of the extras in this scene. And she was transgender.
Yeah.
And she was outed quite a while after, actually, because no one knew anything.
No.
And she was outed by the, I think it was the News of the World, with the headline, Bond girl is a Bond boy.
Ugh.
Yeah. But yeah, there you go. But she was proud of it all and proud of her transition. She said, because I was reading about it today, that after her transition in her surgery, she went a bit wild because she'd finally got to the place where she wanted to go and had a lot of fun parties and had a brief romance with Des Lynham.
What?
Des Lynham?
No.
Des Lynham.
Oh, my goodness.
Says Des.
Goodness me.
Des Lynham.
It's talk about amazing. Match of the day.
Half-time, switch ends.
And well, good for her.
Well, yeah, brilliant.
And good for Des.
Yeah, good on her. And that's brilliant. So that's the first time it's ever happened, isn't it, in the Bond canon?
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I think they should have maybe, I mean, someone should alter the poster. I think the poster, because the poster was also controversial at the time.
Yes,
because it's Bond's point of view of looking between the legs of Melina, but she's wearing either a swimsuit or a bikini that's very tight around her buttocks, just holding a crossbow with her legs akimbo and Bond looking through.
And on backwards as well, so it looks more sexy. So the thin bits at the back.
Imagine if it was Caroline Cossey, so it's Bond just staring and all you can see is a meat and two veg hanging down.
God.
Bond deciding what to do. Might do a bit of target practice. But hopefully and gladly they didn't do that.
No.
Thank the Lord.
But there's someone else at this party. There's a mysterious man called Locke.
Yeah, Locke. Or spelled Locke. Yeah.
Actor called Michael Gotthard.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Is he the dove? I always get confused.
Yeah, the one with the hexagonal glasses.
Hexagonal glasses. Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah.
So
that's he's an assassin.
Yes.
He's an assassin.
He's paying Gonzalez for his job.
Right, and he paid him to kill Melina's parents, didn't he, in the plane that returns. Okay. So Bond immediately gets captured, and Gonzalez immediately looks at his gun and just goes, standard issue British Secret Service, license to kill, I'll be killed, take him away, like that.
You sound like Bernie Winters then.
take him away with Snorbitch. Snorbitch, get out of the pool. Leave that cunt alone, Snorbitch. Playing with Caroline Crossing. Don't pull that.
Snorbitch has got blood coming out of his nostrils.
Snorbitch has OD'd on the side. I just put a bit of tarpaulin over him. It's all right. God, it stinks, though, doesn't it? Anyway, so Bond gets captured.
Yeah.
And then immediately, what does he do? He just sort of wrestles out of the minion's arms and runs away.
Well, it's because Melina's in the bushes, isn't she, with her crossbow.
Yeah, but that's a bit later. It's how he escapes from the thing. Doesn't he just sort of, like, push the henchman in a pool and run?
Well, he does that because Gonzalez is about to jump in the pool.
He's about to dive in the pool. He's about to go, watch this amazing dive!
Yeah.
He's about to show off.
Yeah.
And then all we hear is, and he just belly flops in.
And everyone screams.
That's it. And the girls all go, breasts have seen this murder! Yes, which is what James Bond's all about. And then James Bond's girl goes, well, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Jumps off a roof by grabbing a bellovane, which is the official term for those big umbrellas you get in pubs.
Yeah.
A bellovane.
I like that. Good, I said parasol. But...
And I really love this stunt.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a really simple stunt. Mm. That's what I really like about this film. It's no really reliance on gadgets, just using everyday items to the best.
Yes.
And we're going to get the best example of this in a moment with the mode of transport.
Yes.
It's just using what you've got around you. And because Bond's brilliant at everything he does, he just uses things really well. And I really like that.
Because his car, meanwhile, is down in the gully.
Yeah, his beautiful car.
And bad guys are trying to get in.
Bad henchman's having a little look, and he's just sort of investigating.
Well, this is a John Glenn.
He looks a bit like Giorgio Moroder.
He does.
The henchman. And when he goes to break into the car by using the barrel of his gun, the car blows up to the most spectacularly bad edited dummy.
Yes.
Just stood perfectly still with rigor mortis.
Looking like Donald Trump in front of the Taj Mahal. Yeah.
And I love it because the way it explodes, it's because the dummy's too solid. So it just sort of, it's almost like throwing a boomerang. He sort of boomerangs out of shot.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so good. But I love it.
John Glenn thought that would be hilarious. That was his idea.
Oh, really?
Because if you notice, when they're about to hit the car with the gun barrel, the gun handle.
It's got do not break glass.
Yeah. It's got that thing saying burglar alarm.
Burglar alarm. Burglar proof or something. Yeah.
And apparently a lot of cars used to get stolen if they had that sticker on.
Ah.
Because it meant it was a precious car. So he thought it would be funny if
it blew up.
It blew up. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, it is. But as a child, I was like, no.
Yeah, no, oh my God, he's not going to use that car. But then after a bit of chasing, he
bumps into Melina.
Bumps into Melina.
She's wearing like a beekeeper's mask.
And there's a fantastic bit in the music where it goes, fiddle a diddle a diddle a diddle a diddle a ting.
Because that's kind of her theme, isn't it?
Yeah. And then he very quickly says to her, sort of like, I don't know who you are, but follow me.
Yeah.
They just immediately run hand in hand.
And then we see his car blow up. And he literally drops his car keys on the floor and goes, well, we better take your car.
And he does this amazing triple, quadruple take.
Yeah.
Like, what holy hell is this?
And what music does it play? Because she's got a little yellow Citroen CV.
It's beautiful. And this is, I think, another reason why I love For Your Eyes Only. Because, as again, it's not the best Bond film in the world.
No.
But I think this entire sequence is absolutely amazing.
Absolutely.
This is amazing.
Remy Julien and his men using cars
chasing
to the
him.
Max.
And they're using proper old gangster black sedan-y sort of cars, guns, etc., etc. And James has to sort of use this three-gear stick little Citroën yellow French CV. Oh, it's amazing.
It really is.
And there's so many beautiful little moments in it, the car going upside down and spinning. Landing in the olive trees. And it clips the top of another car where he takes a shortcut because all the roads in Greece are really windy. Mm. It's just got so many beautiful bits. And he even gets helped by the locals at one point, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's all like,
they tip the car over, they all help him get it back.
I love all that.
Mm.
And the bit driving through the olive groves also has one of my favourite ever moments in film, because it's a really bad edit point that they didn't address, where Bond turns around to Melina and just goes, love a drive in the country, don't you?
Mm.
And she goes to laugh, but I think the car goes over a bump.
Yeah.
So what she actually does is she goes, and it's still there.
Yeah.
And I love it. Love a drive in the country, don't you? Like maybe he's already going, oh dear, I think this woman's got mental problems. So open the side door. Out you go.
Thanks for the car.
Thank you for the car.
But he also does that wonderful thing where he looks at the baddies and gives a little lovely Roger nod.
He does the Roger nod. What is this? This sort of, because it's only Roger that did this. He does it twice in this film. He does it a bit later on when he's skiing, where he goes, well, oh, hello to the person trying to kill me.
Mm.
This sort of acknowledgement. And I suppose because he's still a perfect gentleman, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he says, like, oh, good day to you. I mean, if he could doff a cap, he would.
Yes.
And he's really happy and smiley at them.
Yeah.
The people trying to kill him. Hello. I love
it. It's brilliant.
It's a beautiful sequence. I adore that sequence. And it's a good lengthy sequence as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Really long.
I don't know how long.
Well, I don't know either.
But it's quite long.
But it's got a lovely, as I say, Remy Julien and his stunt team, they did all the driving at this point in Bond films. They're always
apparently
amazing.
They reinforced metal plates in the car roof, and they used two cars, apparently, for the whole thing. And it's just, I just love the sequence, and the music is just mental.
Mm.
Bam, 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 bam. It's just all going on.
Doesn't it also go like dun 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 dun?
Yeah, and then he goes dun 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 dun. Fum bum ba, fum bum ba, fum ba, fum ba, fum ba, bum bum ba, fum bum ba, fum ba, fum ba. And it just keeps going to a crescendo.
Yeah.
And then it ends with the James Bond. Fum dum 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 dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum.
Yes.
If you're going to go into revenge, you have to dig two graves.
Unless
you're killing four people, then you need to dig eight graves.
Just dig one and just dig a bit deeper.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Make it 12 feet, so six.
Have a cremation, it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she says, you wouldn't understand, I'm half Greek. What does that mean?
Well, actually, I'm half. Roger would be half.
But it's tenuous at best.
Yeah. He really loved working with her as well,
yes.
This actress, and said he thought that she was one of the most naturally beautiful Bond girls he ever worked with.
Yeah.
But apparently she was at the time having trouble because she was going out with a film producer or someone in film who had a heroin addiction.
Oh, really?
And was going through lots of personal problems of her own. This is all in his book, My Word is My Bond.
My Word is My Bond.
Which he talks about all of this.
Did you know that she also couldn't go underwater?
Yeah, she had a medical condition.
Yeah, fear of drowning. All the underworld bits of this are dry for wet, effectively. They're just filmed in slow motion with blowers blowing.
Yes, that's what I heard. That's
why it looks a bit strange when they're underwater.
I thought, at the time when I saw it, I just thought, wow, that's an amazing effect that they're doing. And I thought they were underwater. So
it looks really good.
So they had a stunt woman do it all?
Every time it's not her in close-up. No, they just made her do it.
They didn't. It was actually Samantha Fox.
Samantha Fox.
Samantha Fox did that.
And
she was a stunt woman before she... a page three model.
Really?
Yeah, and she did all the stunts. She did all James's stunts as well.
Natural buoyancy.
She climbs up the rock at the end.
Does she?
Samantha. Yeah, she does all that. They tape her assets down, obviously, on the wig for James, and she did it all, Sam. Never talks about it.
What a trooper.
What a trooper. Good old Sam.
Good. We salute you, Sam.
Entertaining our troops. Good on you, Sam.
Yep.
Saving the world again.
A lot of men have saluted her in the past. Oh, dear.
Daring me. Sorry, this is all in the spirit of Bond.
So Bond goes to see Q.
Yes.
Because he's going to make a photo fit. Angry M says to him, well, you should go down to the identograph.
I'm not going to fucking basement Bond!
Yeah.
He's like, all right.
That's basically what he says.
Keep your hair on.
Yeah. You cunt.
What you've got left of it, you little cunt.
So he goes down to see Q in the basement.
Q's also furious.
Mm.
Very furious this time with Bond. What is it now, Bond?
Yeah.
With his insane... Bratwurst hands that I now can never not see because you've blazoned it onto my psyche.
Sorry about that.
But no, you're right. Insane hands.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. And this is the only bit where we see some other gadgets.
Yes.
And they're never really used.
No.
Apparently the Identikit is called something else though, isn't it?
It's the Identograph.
The Identograph. And apparently it was first spoken about in the original Ian Fleming books in one of the other stories.
Oh, right.
Apparently this, For Your Eyes Only, is a short story for Your Eyes Only and another one bolted together.
Yeah.
But the Identikit or the Identograph or whatever it is was talked about in a previous Ian Fleming novel for another James Bond story.
There's bits of Live and Let Die in this as well. The keel hauling is from Live and Let Die.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
So we go through this sort of, you know, the equivalent of, could you describe him, madam, the assailant? Well, he had 16 ears, nine hairs, and a very, very angry nose. And then and so a policeman would draw it, but this time it's all done with amazing graphics.
And red lights.
And red lights.
You have to have red light on when you do it. Makes you feel sexy.
And this isn't the same... I always get confused. Is this the same film where Bond focuses on a woman's boobies?
No, that's Octopussy.
That's Octopussy. Okay.
Yeah, that's the next one.
That's next. Okay.
But it's a bit of domestic... You understand Q's life here, because there's a lady comes in and he says, oh, you go, Sandra, I'll lock up. I like that.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's really domestic
it's like
and normal.
Working in a little office. It's proper.
Also, can you imagine him trying to lock... What was the bloody code? His fat fingers on the tiny button. 3-9-8... Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, God! Forgetting to turn off the lights.
I've been here for weeks.
Forgetting to turn off the lights, so they send him the bill. What? 4,000 fucking pounds. kept keeping on the lights, Q. Silly shit. Ham-fisted fucking boffin. See here, 007.
But he does the graph. And there's and a wonderful guy, bit course, with the nose.
Yeah, the nose.
A nose, not a banana queue.
Not a banana queue, you stupid fuck. And of course, the only way to really get the identity of this man is not by what he looks like at all, but no. by what he wears.
Yes.
A pair of octagonal glasses.
Mm.
Which are not easy to find.
No.
Not easy to find.
Apparently the actor's own.
Really?
Yeah, because he's in Jack the Ripper, that actor. He's Michael Caine, Jack the Ripper.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Playing the head of the vigilante committee, and he wears the same glasses in it.
I wonder if all his work is to do with these glasses.
I think so.
Amazing. Because Peter Sellers always, when they said, oh, how do you get into all these characters? He just goes, I just stick a wig on some glasses and then I'm in.
Yeah.
So obviously this guy was the same method. I need octagonal glasses to feel the part.
For your eyes only. He's optician.
Not him, though. He's far-sighted.
Yeah,
couldn't see a thing.
Yep. But I love that when they finally get the picture of him, it starts off as like a drawing. And when he prints it out, it's a photograph.
It's a photograph, yeah. It's beautiful.
Perfect, Q.
Thank you, Q.
Just we had the photo on file, sorry.
Exactly. It's just really big old A4 clunky files. This is much easier, you know, Q. So they identify the hired assassin, so Bond is off.
Yeah.
He's off.
He's off.
And this time, is he going to slightly colder climes?
Yeah. So Bond knows that Locke is in Cortina.
There you go.
In a Ford Cortina.
That's right. He's in a Ford Cortina.
So he goes to meet his contact Ferreira.
Yeah.
And when he meets him there, he tells him about how there's a man in the town who knows everything.
That's right. A wise old sage. Yeah, like
Christatos.
Christatos.
Played by Julian Glover.
Who's great.
He's brilliant.
I think he's a really good villain, and he's really understated as a villain. And I think, again, this is obviously their decision. Let's just pare it all down a bit. He's a villain, and he's not, doesn't dress like a mental person, doesn't have a mental lair.
No, absolutely.
Doesn't have ambitions to do, you know, I think after I'm finished with the world, I want a volcano in Westminster. It's just, no, that's, he's just, I think, I can't even remember what he wants to do. It's just like, get everyone on drugs or something?
Just drugs. He's just drugs.
Drugs
smuggling.
And also sell the...
sell the attack to the Russians.
Yeah, sell that to the highest bidder because it's all about naval plans, isn't it?
It is.
And stuff like that. So so that's it. So he's sort of like a low-rent villain, really.
Yeah.
He's just a proper crim.
Well, he's also the villain in The Last Crusade.
Yes, of course.
Excellent in that.
And he's brilliant in that as well. Yeah. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. But so Bond goes to meet him.
Yeah.
And here we meet his ward, Bibi.
Bibi!
Bibi!
Bibi, who in real life got like second prize in a novice ice skating contest.
Yes.
So BB takes a shine to Bond immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah. And in now, hats off to James, who normally, as we know, likes to...
Have a sex with the ladies.
Have sex with ladies.
With the ladies.
Cons with the ladies.
The ladies.
And this time he's like, oh, no, jailbait.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
She's definitely like some sort of sting operation, isn't she?
I know,
she?
Yeah. Just literally Operation Utria based here, aren't they, in Cortina? Good Lord. Yeah, so even he's like, no, no, no. And a bit later on, he even says something like, I'll buy you an ice cream.
Yeah. Pop your clothes on, I'll buy you an ice cream.
Then I'll fuck you. Oh, no, Bond.
No, no, no.
Eat the ice cream while I do it.
But she's immediately obsessed with him.
Smitten.
And she wants to go and watch her friend who's like a super skier.
Yeah, she even mentions her affections for older men, doesn't she?
Yes.
And so he's like, all right, less of the bloody old. Although he's 54, isn't he, when he's doing this?
I think
I think in the book he says he's 54.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all right.
No, he's 52.
Oh, 52.
He was 50 in Moonraker.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's this bit's a bit saggy. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. There's all. You're. And who are you? And I'm meeting you.
When I was a kid, I had no fucking idea what was going on.
I still really don't, even though I really like. I think I love this film. And I love this film for like 40 minutes, then I hate it for 30, then I love it for 30, then I hate it for the rest.
Yeah.
But mainly it's the music and the madness of it all.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's wandering around trying to establish who's who, and people are sort of pretending to be other people, etc. And he meets Melina again.
Yeah.
And the assassins again are now trying to kill her.
Yes.
And there's a nice little bit where he just shoves a plank of wood under a bike.
Yeah, and he goes, because he nips into a florist to have a look. And then when they try and kill her, he gets them all, and then he sends one biker through the florist window.
And then just goes, send the lilies to his missus,
yeah,
or whatever it is.
That's right.
She's like, that'll be 48 a dinar. Dina, I don't know how much it is.
Lira, wouldn't it?
Lira.
Yeah.
Yeah, she screams after him after he doesn't pay.
She says lira, and he says, I am a bit.
And looks at the camera, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
And then he pulls Melina aside again and goes, look, just forget about all this. You're in mortal danger. And they have a big argument on a sledge.
Yeah, and she keeps telling him to stop, and he keeps telling him to go.
And the driver's like, oh, my God, what a mistake to make.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he finally becomes French. He goes, amore. No, Italian, he goes, amore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they all snuggle up together. And that looks nice, that bit.
It does,
under
it?
A lovely big load of old furs.
But he talks her into leaving.
Yeah.
Which she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a dangerous job when I'm on the job.
Mm.
So, yeah, he does persuade her to naff off for a bit.
Yeah.
Because we've got to get some more plot in.
Yeah. So Bibi wants him to come with her to go and watch Kriegler.
That's right, her favourite.
The one she fancies.
Yeah.
Who does some sort of like triathlon.
Yeah.
It's a funny kind of triathlon.
So it's half skiing, half shooting.
Half shooting.
And half murdering James Bond.
Half murdering James Bond.
Yeah, that's it.
And they go and watch him, and he's super cross. And
yeah,
won't talk
very
to Bibi.
Angry. Yeah. I think because maybe he's, I don't know, he's got size issues or something, or I don't know.
So he's supposed to be looking after Bibi. Christatos says, Christatos,
so he's a ward.
Do you mind if James takes me to this thing? And Christatos says, I don't mind if you don't mind. And he goes, all right. And then they get there.
But she's already got the bossy lady going, no, you won't have sex with anyone. And you will ski and skate forever.
Yeah.
She's all bossy.
She is.
I'd like an ice cream. No, you'll have spinach all night. That sort of person, like a really mad governess.
Yeah.
She's actually just the skating trainer.
She's just skating
trainer. But she's quite stern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he gets there with Bibi and then goes, anyway, I'm going now.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, all right.
It's like dropping off a parcel.
Yeah. And then he walks off.
Sign here, mate. Here's your human.
He goes skiing in the woods.
He does.
And then Kriegler attacks him.
And this is all mad, just mad music. It's all bongos to denote time. Yeah. And then it's just utterly mad.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. It's literally like a Brian Eno experimental music piece.
It's great, though.
But I love it.
He gets chased all the way to that ski jump. And one of Locke's men is Charles Dance.
Yes, we see Charlie Dance, don't we?
Yeah, he's young and...
This is my career so far.
Not going too bad, is
it?
It
would have been great in Bond in any capacity, wouldn't
you? You would
really?
Have been a good Bond villain.
You would have been a brilliant Bond villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit too young at this point, but...
Yeah, but... Or even a henchman.
I'd have loved him.
He's got the height and the gravitas. He would have been a mad henchman.
Instead of Jonathan Pryce in Tomorrow Never Dies, Charles Dance would have been much better.
He could have been a really psychotic German henchman called Hans Everywhere. With his cold blue eyes.
Or Hands That Do Dishes.
Hands that do dishes can feel soft as your face with mild green bloody murder. Doesn't really make
That's
sense.
That's his advert if he's a
That's
hitman.
His advert.
Yeah. Well, he's
the washing up boat full of blood.
He seems.
Oh, hello.
He seems pretty good. We should hire him.
Yeah, we should definitely hire him.
I mean, the rest of them, they didn't do an advert. He's done an actual advert.
There's a lovely bit of obviously they they shoved it on post where Bond goes down the ski slope and then the other guy joins him and starts to sort of hit him and he elbows him right in the stomach and you can see Bond go, ooh!
And then they both...
And then flies off and then the music goes, dong, fing, dong, bing, dong, dong, bow! And then silence and then as a gun sight trying to follow him and then misses him. Damn! Yeah. Then he gets chased.
The chase is great.
And the chase is also brilliant.
Yeah.
This whole sequence is another brilliant. And this is the music Runaway, which is fum, 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 bum, 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 da, da, da. But anyway, I love it.
And he skis over someone's lunch.
Skis over someone's lunch, who looks a bit like Douglas Adams.
So that's the man who's had cameos in three films in a row.
Oh, okay. He really looked like Douglas Adams.
He does really look like Douglas
Adams. And he's like, oh, my bloody cheese, he seems to be saying as Bond skis through it. Yeah. Mind you, he sliced it for him.
Yeah.
Thanks! Bond once, of course, once more does is, why, hello.
Mm.
This is great. He does it as he's going down the toboggan. Because eventually he goes through words. He uses, again, he hasn't got any gadgets.
No.
He's just using what he's got, using his wits. He ends up only having one pole, which he uses to plonk on a tree. I don't know how he manages to stick that, but he does.
He gets one of the motorcycle drivers.
Yeah, he does that. And then a motorcycle driver sort of almost beheads himself and trips over. It's all brilliant. And he's just manoeuvring around trees. It's a really fast-paced edited sequence, and it looks great.
And then Kriegler and him have this like face off, but he decides instead to pick up his bike and throw it.
Yeah, well, because he tries to shoot him and he realizes his gun had been bent.
Yep.
And the music goes fum 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 fum. And that's when he chucks the bike at him, like, oh, fuck off.
And then Bond skis off.
Bond just goes, piss off. Yeah, you know, doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
Just sort of goes, see you later, alligator.
Mm.
And he's off.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And this is when Ferrero Rocher.
This is when Ferrero Rochers are offered.
He gets
to everyone in the film.
He gets found dead.
He does, in the back of the Ford Cortina.
Yeah.
Just dead.
With a dove brooch.
Yeah, a little dove pin, which is quite vital,
because
he's called the dove, so he doesn't...
It's because he shits a magician's hats.
It's because he lives on Trill. And that's what Christatos is smuggling, Trill.
Yeah, Trill.
I control all the Trill in the world.
Is that much of a commodity?
Bond tries it. Trill.
Pure Trill. I love that bit.
Pure unrefined Trill.
They should have then dubbed on a little bird whistle.
Suddenly becomes Norman Collier. Oh, dear. Well, you know, I mean, he almost gets to that stage in the next film, dressed as a clown running around, so it's not that much difference.
And as a gorilla.
And as a gorilla.
Yeah.
I mean, he might as well gone, you know, the full-on pretending to ride an ostrich.
Bernie Clifton.
Like Bernie Clifton.
Yeah.
Hello. And then nodding to people. They're all in different variants. He's on the chicken, someone else riding a horse, someone on a pig. And Bond, hello. Or running in Benny Hill, fast forward.
But just in circles.
Just in circles.
Not going anywhere.
With Q looking on. What the fuck? Holding a cup of tea, throwing it to the floor, and then just picking up a bourbon. Fuck it. Should have happened, didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Other universe, it did.
Yeah.
Of course. Other universe, that has happened.
That happened, and Trump didn't become president, so I'd rather have that version of the film.
What a lovely place to be, that must be.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So he goes to the restaurant.
Yes, that's right.
Christatos stages... no, sorry, it's Columbo.
Columbo, which
who's
is...
Topol,
who he greatly admires.
If I was a Trill man.
If I like the birdseed.
But Columbo is with Cassandra Harris.
Yes.
Who is Mrs. Pierce Brosnan.
Right. And she's like a little informant, isn't she?
Yeah, well, they stage an argument.
That's right.
And Bond is with Christatos.
Yes.
Christatos is like, oh, trouble in paradise.
Hello. Going to go and have a word with the missus?
Yep. So he offers to drive Cassandra Harris home.
Yes, right.
And
and their home is now on a beach somehow.
Mm.
So is this still Cortina?
Yeah.
Or does he pop on a plane and go somewhere?
He gives the best cover story ever.
What's
he
that?
He says, I'm writing a book about Greek smugglers.
Oh, that's right.
Are you? That's a very, very...
I'm writing a book about Christos being the evil guy in my life.
You don't say. It's called For Your Eyes Only.
I'd like to probe you for more information.
I'm writing a book about me liking blowjobs.
I'm trying to have a blowjob in every region in Europe, and I haven't done one for Cortina. Would you perhaps help?
But I have ironically had one in the back of a Cortina.
And then I had one in the back of a mini metro as well. Normally a limo. Very understanding driver, Clive.
But they go back to hers, and it turns out she's putting on an accent. She's actually from Manchester.
She's a Manc.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, well, never mind.
Mm.
And has sex with her.
And they have champagne and oysters.
Champagne, oysters, and then sexual intercourse.
Sexual intercourse.
So he's already over Melina.
Yeah. And then in the morning, they go for a walk on the beach.
And this is horrible as well. Yeah. Again, this is the other thing about this film. Three genuinely upsetting deaths.
Yeah.
This is number two. First one, tipping a disabled man down a chimney.
Yep.
Number two, run over by a dune buggy.
Mm. Which are, you know, traditionally a vehicle of fun.
They are. They're not. Yeah.
They're not methods of murder.
They are. Yes, you're right.
You wouldn't have them in Cluedo.
No.
In the library. With
Professor
the
Green
buggy.
In the solarium with the canoe. Exactly. It just doesn't happen, does it?
That would be a vast game, though, wouldn't it?
Mrs. White.
Up a tree.
In the cocktail bar. With a zip line. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You,
oh, dear. Yeah, and I think that's why, because it's such an odd pedestrian thing to be killed with.
Yeah.
A dune buggy.
Yeah.
It's somehow nastier.
Also, the stunt's very good. I mean,
yeah,
it's convincingly horrible.
It looks really dreadful. Like, I can imagine this just dredged up red sand skidding behind the wheels as it goes off, and Bond's just sort of like, oh, well, the crabs will take care of that.
I wonder if the chippy is still open.
He doesn't make a joke, does he?
No, he doesn't. No. He's upset.
Yeah, he is upset.
He chases them down, and Locke gets away, but he's just as he's going to get, he's left, Charles Dance is about to kill him.
That's right.
And then, arrow in the back. Out of the water come Columbo's
men. Comes. Yeah, oh yeah, it's not Melina.
No, not Melina. It's Columbo's men.
Well done.
And Bond, and he sees that they've all got white doves on them.
That's right, and he thinks they're low.
Oh, fuck.
I'm done for.
And then he gets knocked out.
Yeah, so in a sense he is done for, isn't he? And you think, that's it now.
And James Bond will not return.
James Bond will not return in Octopussy.
Next week.
At the same time, not next week.
Coming up now on BBC One. Arthur C. Clarke's Disco Championships. Good evening. I'm Arthur C. Clarke. And not many people know I love a disco. I'm here in Stevenage.
Well, next on BBC Two, a surprise in the schedules. It's Barry Norman's Jousting. Good evening. Welcome. Not many people know that I like jousting. And I also might be Melvin Bragg.
It is Melvin Bragg.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, yeah, so he's... And why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like jousting. And why not? Join me now on a Shire horse as I battle Pat Coombs.
Oh, God.
No, we won't.
Pat Coombs is back.
No, she's not.
No, she's not.
She's not.
But Bond wakes up on Columbo's boat.
He does.
And they've changed his clothes for him. He's now wearing these little pressed blue slacks.
So there might have been a henchman like, oh, I'll do that. Don't you worry.
Mm-hmm.
Slip you out of that and pop you in them. Little pair of tiny disco shorts and sequins. Yeah. You look nice in that, James.
But then Columbo says to him, look, you think I'm the bad
guy.
Just
one more thing, he says.
Patrick McGoohan comes in.
And it was Topple's idea to constantly be chewing pistachios throughout this. He thought that was a nice little motif for him.
To be fair, it is.
Yeah.
It's but unusual.
Apparently
and
the sound and the camera guys hated it.
Right, of course.
Because he kept on crunching nuts through all the people's dialogue.
And he speaks to Roger, and it cuts to Roger, and he's covered in bits of nuts in his face. Not those kind of nuts. But yeah, Columbo.
Yes.
Says to him, you think I'm the bad guy. I'm not.
I'm not.
I record everything at the tables of my dinner. I know what you said.
Yeah.
Let me prove to you that Christatos is the baddie.
Yeah.
We're going to one of his warehouses full of drugs.
That's right. So he reveals that he's a goodie.
Yeah.
He's a double-crossing goodie trying to get the baddie Christatos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because up until that point, you're like, sorry, who's who? Can we just bed this in? Mm. Who's who?
Mm.
So this is a sort of a reveal now.
Mm.
Yeah. And is this where he shows him the drugs and he puts his finger
in?
They go to
the warehouse.
They go to the warehouse,
and
yeah.
He dips his finger in and says, raw opium.
Raw opium. And then the next half hour, he's like, fucking hell. He starts tripping.
He's got like a ghetto blaster on his shoulder.
Just found completely naked ice skating. Oh, da, 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 da. If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club. You all right, Roger?
Oh, yes.
Was that heroin real? Oh, yes. Told you we're going gritty, this one.
If you read the book, and that's when I got addicted to skag.
It has to be like The French Connection too, where you'd have to go cold turkey for a week.
Just like the idea of Bond having a really mad half hour. Oh, fuck! The next day, waking up, oh, Christ, what did I do?
He's in bed with a chicken.
In bed with 5 different women, 9 men, and a piano. What the fuck?
And he only fucked the piano. Yeah, so they go to the warehouse, and Columbo and his men and Bond just basically run around blowing up things and shooting people.
And this is a bit sort of saggy and a bit sort of, that needs a bit more pace. It needs to be tightened a bit. And also, you still don't really know that Christatos is behind stealing the thing.
No.
You still don't know what the imminent threat is all about.
Well, Locke's there.
Yes.
So we know he's involved in
Yeah,
madness.
But again, it's another person lumped into the mix. And it's all getting a bit... But what?
Also, Locke gets around, doesn't he?
He does get around, yeah. He gets around. He gets around. I'm not going to go anywhere else with that.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
So Bond chases after Locke.
Yeah.
And they have this wonderful chase where Locke's driven off.
Yes.
But Bond runs up about 400 steps like Rocky.
Should have gotten a stanner, really, shouldn't
he? Should have done.
Just there. Oh, I can polish my gun in the meanwhile.
But he jumps out from this, when the car drives through a bridge, jumps out and...
Yeah.
Catches Locke in the shoulder and he drives off the road. Now, this is the bit that Roger was upset about.
This is death number 3, because this is cold and calculating even for Bond.
Which Roger said his Bond would not do.
Yeah, but that's weird, because he said his Bond, and apparently John Glenn said, well, it could be anyone's Bond, mate. Mm. And he was basically told, no, you're going to do this. And he was persuaded eventually.
John Glenn talked him round by saying, yes, you're booing the car, but... When you throw the pin in,
that's probably what tips it
over.
It's tipping the weight, and also that's comedic in the sense of very much like you know, a cartoon.
Mm.
Oh, one more thing. It's like, you know, Mr. Creosote having the wafer thin mint, then he blows up. So it's that. But it's not, because it's Bond's almost keeping the car up with his heel of his foot, and he does push it with his
heel. Good boot.
Yeah, so...
It's good, though. I like it.
It's really cold. It's really nasty.
Mm.
And it's like, wow, Bond can do that sort of thing. And there's no... Is there a quip?
No. I think he says, you dropped this.
Yeah.
And then he drops down. Just under, and at the bottom of the ravine there, there's a small family having a picnic.
That's right. It's the same guy from the skiing.
Yeah.
Don't worry. If we go here, we won't be disturbed.
Oh, fuck!
I'll just get this fondue. Oh, Christ! That's a car lands, isn't it? Holiday cancelled. We're going back to Ipswich. So he's now this man's now becoming a bit like the you know, the big fat American police officer who keeps appearing in the Bonds as well, just keeps bumping into Bond.
Yeah.
You boy are crazy.
J.W. Pepper.
That's the one, yeah. J.W. Pepper.
So then Bond goes to see. Hang on a sec. Yep.
Because it's now so then, just Bond goes to see.
Bond goes to see Melina. He meets
Bond
Melina.
Bond goes to see, and you're like, something happened.
Melina's under the water.
That's right.
And Bond goes and meets her at this site.
She's doing some admin underwater,
she's doing some
isn't
architectural
she?
Admin.
Yeah, which looks a bit like she's sort of like cleaning up.
Yeah, like, it looks like she's kind of sweeping the floor.
Rearranging conches.
Hoovering. She's hoovering.
She's doing some aquatic hoovering.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She's singing, put the second back, put the freshness back to the second, but with bubbles coming out.
Probably be the shake and whelk
shark and whelk.
Do the shark and whelk. Do the fish with bulk. Bonzo, what a catchy tune. Let's mix bubbles.
Oh my god.
So doesn't he sort of beckon her like, surface?
Yeah, he does.
Come on.
And they go back up and they try and figure out where the boat might have landed.
Yes.
Which they figure out because her dad's logbook is in a special kind of code.
That's right. Which is
he knows.
And the code, isn't the code like the theme tune to something?
Yes, it's the theme tune to Bergerac. The boat is here.
But the full tune, they're just a sitting
the boat
wait for
is
it
here. The boat is here.
It is here, I must say to you. The boat's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Looking at his watch.
And then just, Jim! Oh, sorry. Wrong bloody film. TV show, sorry.
And then right at the end, he goes, da, 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 da.
Click.
To the bottom of the water. Oh, we have to turn over. The boat is here. Christ. The boat is here.
Let's try something else. Ta 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 ta, Inspector Gadget. Ta 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 ta. Ooh ooh. Ta ta ta. The whole thing. Go, Gadget, go. Fa dum ba dum bum, fa dum ba dum bum. Go. Oh, Christ, this is not working either. Let's try the Moomin's fa flia dum.
Sorry, Melina, I have to ask. Is your dad just recording himself singing songs?
Yes, but he's quite a mad. Also, the code is 589.
Why did you bloody say that? I've been singing bloody TV themes for the last 4 hours. Mind you, it was quite good fun.
The boat is here, the boat is here.
The boat is here, 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 the boat is here.
Boat
the
is
boat
here.
Is here. The boat's not there, it's here, I say. The boat is here, the boat is here, the boat is here. No? Okay.
So they go down in a little mini submarine to go and
just
find
one
it.
More, Buck Rogers. Boat, yeah. Boat, 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 boat is here, it's here, the boat is here, the boat, I can't go any higher. That's not it either.
Let's turn this tape off. You have to phone M and say, look, I'm sort of bad news. He hasn't been looking for anything. He's been recording himself singing theme tunes.
Also, could you send some Murray mints? My throat's a bit taut. Some Strepsils would be nice, Q, if you could rustle that up. Fuck the exploding cufflinks. Some Strepsils, please. A glass of Evian, chilled if you don't bloody mind.
So they go down in a submarine and then they get attacked by another submarine. This goes on for fucking
ages. And again...
Well, no, to be fair, they swim into the boat, they get the attack, and then that big robot suit with claws comes in.
Yeah, snappy, snappy.
And they put a bomb in it and blow it up.
Yeah. But it's not really...
It goes on for
feels like a lack of peril and just tighten this whole sequence up. But no, it goes on for like 20 minutes, it seems.
And then they just going get attacked by another boat, submarine with claws.
Yeah.
That gets pushed into the side. And then they come out and Julian Glover and everybody are waiting for them up top.
Yeah, going, that was a waste of your time, wasn't it, James?
And then he turns to the camera and goes, and all yours.
And all yours. T-E-A readers.
Well, that was a waste of the film, wasn't it, Bond?
You're bloody right.
Yeah, so he's captured again.
Yeah.
And you're like, right, okay. Are you now going to do your sort of soliloquy about what your intentions are? No.
No. They get keel hauled.
They do.
Is that now?
No, I think they do.
Yeah.
Nasty experience to be keel hauled, I imagine.
Yeah, they get keel hauled. Horrible, horrible stuff. Because he cuts their arms as well for the sharks. And
he's already out. But good thing is, he's sort of been through this before in Live and Let Die. Yes. So he sort of knows the score.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, obviously, I'd imagine by this point, Roger Moore's veins are just literally 100% probably ethanol at this point.
Mm.
The amount of booze he's doing offset.
But he has that plan of going, every time they stop to turn around, they go down and tie the rope more around a rock.
Yes.
It goes on for fucking
ever.
And
that, again, is another sequence that goes on. And it's like they're trying to solve a little quiz or a riddle in the adventure game.
Mm.
Or it's like a 3-minute bloody lock-in in the Crystal Maze.
Yes.
Just come on!
But luckily, they swim down, they break through the rope, they swim down to where the site is and where Melina had left a scuba tank.
Yes.
So they're able to utilise that.
But it's full of helium, unfortunately.
James Bond, James Bond.
But so Christatos looks down, sees they're not coming back up, and says, well, they're dead.
They're dead.
And he's got the attack at this point.
Yeah, so he's won.
Yeah.
He's won, isn't he?
And he goes off.
Yeah, and then the film ends. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
Smirch Pod Royale.
And now it just keeps on going again.
Well, he goes and meets Q in a...
Yeah.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
That's putting it mildly, 007.
High five, 007. Not with those fucking catcher mitts.
Broke my hand last time.
It would be like the end of Superman 2 if you shook Q's hand after he's gone inside... crushing Bond's hand every time. Oh! It chucks him down a ravine. Money Penny gets kicked down a ravine.
You're a pain in the neck. What did she do wrong?
She's done nothing wrong. Loyal, loyal Miss Moneypenny. Oh. Dearie me.
And then M tries to fly.
No, it'd be Moneypenny that turns around to a bongo and goes,
yeah,
I've just about had enough of you.
Yeah. Again, done nothing wrong.
Done nothing wrong at all. Dearie me.
So he teams up with Columbo.
Yes.
And they go to...
one more plot point.
Oh, I forgot to say earlier how they
crack
the code.
Everyone had fallen asleep.
When they come back after they've been keel-hauled and everyone gets away, the parrot, they don't know where they're going with the attack.
Right.
But the parrot overhears everyone saying, St. Cyril's Monastery.
Yeah, it repeats it.
St. Cyril's Monastery.
Yeah.
Show us your penis. Bernie in. Bernie Winters.
Longley.
Bernard Breslau.
Bernard Breslau, Bernie Winters.
What? They have to wait an hour while he says everybody called Bernard in the world.
And then the bird joins in with the code thing, starts singing fucking.
Right, how about this one then?
George Bernard Shaw. That doesn't even work.
Bird starts doing EastEnders.
Boat is there.
Oh, God, is this in the film as well? Now the bird has to do with when he got it.
Got to earn me money. Walk. Give us a trill. I'm addicted.
What he should have done is picked up that parrot, shoved it in the raw grade opium.
Mm.
End of parrot.
Fuck me! Oh, my God, it's full of stars.
You know who should have played that bird?
Who?
Orville.
Orville should
definitely... Oh, God.
But Keith Harris has to be there as well.
I wish he couldn't die. But they're playing down from the sky and he's dead.
You're right.
Oh, I fucking knew that.
I wish I could remember what monastery they've gone to. Please tell Mr. Bond, Orville, it's very important.
Oh,
I ate that duck. Cuddles is in it now.
Cuddles comes up with a scuba mask on. There, that duck. What are you doing? Shitting on the sea bed. Oh, well, go on, do what you need to do. Ridiculous.
So they go to St. Cyril's Monastery with Columbo.
Right.
And his men. And they can't get up there, so Bond says, well, I don't know why, but he basically says, I can climb.
Bond goes, I tell you what, I'll make this as difficult as possible for me. Off I go. I'm going to climb up manually.
Yes. And there's a lift he can bring down for everybody else.
Well, it's not even a lift, is it? It's like a big wicker basket.
Yeah.
It's like a hamper that was full of goods.
Like the bottom of a hot air balloon without the balloon.
It's just a Harrods hamper.
Yeah.
That Cubby's just had. And then, here you go, you can use that. And apparently when they were filming, the monks that lived in the actual building got quite annoyed by it. And I don't know why.
Hmm.
I don't know what was bothering them. Maybe it was just too much noise, too much bother.
Maybe.
And they started to try and thwart the production by hanging out all their washing on washing lines and putting gaily coloured bunting up so they couldn't get really good shots. But then apparently there was a big to and fro about ownership and location and stuff. And they said, well, actually, the outside we can do, but the inside we can't. So then the monks were, OK, so that's great. And they sort of caved in.
Hmm.
And then they went, well, we're not filming inside anyway. Ah, monks.
Up yours, monks.
Yeah? What are you going to say about that? Nothing, because you're a fucking monk.
No. Bond, yeah, climbs up.
Using again, his forever and ever and ever.
It takes forever.
And there's a bit of, and there's a night, there's a good bit of peril finally.
Where that guard keeps knocking out the,
yeah, sort of...
pitons?
Piton or the pin or whatever
pin,
they
piton,
are. Yeah, the, you know, the blue tack he's using.
Yeah, the blue tack.
Yeah, and James Bond falls and you think, oh, it's the end of him, but he just falls a bit.
And he starts using his shoelaces to get back up.
I
don't think I could engage in combat after that, knowing my shoes didn't have laces.
Exactly.
You'd be flopping around all over the
and
place.
And surely, James, at this stage, you'd be wearing a nice pair of Hush Puppies slip-ons.
What should have happened at the end of this is that the baddie...
falls to his death.
Apart from that.
Yeah.
The baddie should have had him one-on-one with a gun and said, nah, Mr. Bond, now you die. And Bond just kicks his shoe off into his face. Just flies off.
Pre-loosened.
Yeah.
Yeah, loosened number 9 print on his head.
Oh, you can't.
And he turns around and goes, I'm going to pay to number 9. And we find out the entire thing's an episode of Sesame Street.
Oh, wonderful.
But yeah, this endless sequence. Yeah. This is the third or fourth endless sequence with a tiny bit of jeopardy, but not enough. And you know.
No. And finally, they get up to the top where the Russians are coming down.
That's right.
To take the attack.
Yes.
And Christatos is up there to get it.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of fighting.
Fighty-fighty. Topple turns up with all his men. More fighty-fighty. not particularly great.
Krieger gets thrown out of a window with a block of stone.
Yeah, there's not much they can really do because
no, it's very
normally
small space.
In the other Bond films, because it's normally a massive underwater lair or volcano lair or floating palace, it looks so good when all explodes. But this is just a bigger lump of rock, so there's not much to do.
No.
So it's all localised explosions and fighting, and it's not that exciting either.
No.
And even the death of Christatos, it's all right. But
he gets a knife in the back, doesn't he?
It's a knife in the back and falls out a window.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then the Russians land to get the machine, and they say, well, Gogol says, give me the machine.
And Bond's got it.
Flips it off the side.
Yeah.
Smashes it into
pieces. I like that bit.
And then says, detente, comrade. Neither of us have it.
Yeah, that's nice.
I like that.
That's a
and
nice...
Gogol does as well. He does a little wry smile.
Yeah, he goes, like, I like you, Bond.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty clever.
You want pistachio with me?
And then Columbo says he's being treated by Bibby, and he's like, she's all right, isn't she? And Bond's like, yeah, go for it, mate.
You enjoy yourself. Yeah, he's literally having a smirk to us, isn't he?
Yeah. Is there anything wrong with her? No.
Oh, no.
No, fine.
Not at all.
You sure?
No, she's absolutely fine. Help her with her homework, though.
Sorry, what was that?
No, absolutely. No, she's one fine figure skater. Yes. Make sure she's in bed by 4.
What was that?
No, that's absolutely fine. You have a wonderful time. I'm going to open a prizer open like a prize of peach. Oh, Bond, oh, dear. Bond blushes.
She reminds me of, do you remember Get Shorty?
Yes.
There's a locker in Get Shorty that everybody can't go near because the police will get them. She's that locker.
She is.
Because at the end, Columbo's like, well, I'll have a go at this. And then suddenly all these police bust out of a van.
She's the gold in the briefcase in the Tarantino film. Is that what I think it is? Yeah, just don't even. And then it just ends.
Well, no, we get Janet Brown.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's Janet Brown as Thatcher.
Now, you see, they previously, we've just said, I think he's attempting re-entry, sir, which is wonderful. I mean...
And now we get a parrot talking dirty to the Prime Minister.
Yeah, and the Prime Minister liking it.
Him going, the best bit about this is John Wells wandering in as Dennis Thatcher.
Just to grab a drink.
And her smacking his hand away.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
I love it.
That's a nice comedy moment.
Yeah. And,
but it's again, it's the, we're patching you through live now. We haven't checked on anything, of course.
Give us a kiss.
Learned by our mistakes.
Ooh, Mr. Bourne.
She thinks that's how James talks as well.
That's how he does talk.
Hello!
You know, of course, who Janet Brown
was... License to kill!
You know who Janet Brown was married to, don't you?
At the time?
Yeah.
John Voight.
No!
Oh.
It's a bit of a bookend for our episode.
Oh, go on.
Peter Butterworth.
Get away!
Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow!
Peter, we'd like your wife to be in the Bond film. How much should we pay her?
Pound. Per minute. No, hang on, that's a lot.
It's not, though.
No, it's not. So is that all, Peter? No, pound of that heroin you got. All right,
and a pound of trill.
A pound of trill. That's amazing. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happily married for a long time.
Yeah.
I hope so.
They sired
a child. Carry-ons never did. They always had horrible marriages.
Yeah. No, I think it was because they sired Tyler Butterworth.
Yes, of course. Can't believe it's not Tyler Butterworth. Wow.
Yeah,
so you get the comedy end. So they couldn't resist a comedy end.
No.
Even though they went for... But they did go for gritty realism.
They did.
But they also made
Again, talking of bookends, it's bookended by silliness.
Yeah.
You've got the wheelchair down the chimney, Thatcher being chatted up by a parrot.
And liking it.
Yeah, but in between that, it's all raw and gritty.
Yeah, but with two really fantastic sequences in it, but the rest quite superfluous and a bit sort of dull.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know... Bill Conti.
Yeah, Bill Conti.
That's why I watch it. Just for the unremitting noise that goes on with the film.
The Conti Show. Right, it's time for quick fire questions.
Okay, yeah.
Paul, what's your favourite Bond film?
It's For Your Eyes Only.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. And it really honestly is. But only for the music and the madness of it all. But really, it's Spy Love Me.
Mm.
That's really my favourite. Yeah. For a proper Bond film. All the way through.
Yes.
Spy Love Me.
Okay.
And in fact, in going into Moonraker, it's like the two films just literally are
absolutely.
Like holding hands. It's really lovely. And I was saying earlier, and I'm going to say it again, this For Your Eyes Only feels like it shouldn't have been done after, even though they wanted to go for the realism, it feels like it shouldn't have been made after those two films. It should have come before them somehow. I don't know why. It just feels
in my
head.
It would have been a nice follow-on from The Man with the Golden Gun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know, but there you go.
Anyway. What's your least favourite?
Die Another Day.
Mm.
It's just dreadful. I don't think Piers cared at any point. And the invisible car thing is just too stupid. And also they use CGI that was I don't know, last used during an episode of The Tomorrow People, it seems. It was just utterly keck.
Yeah, it is.
They just didn't care.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. So, and it's yeah.
Can you give me your best made-up Bond film title?
Yeah, it's B.O.N.D. It's Bond.
Mm.
And it stands for Bond! You already get Bond in it.
Yeah.
So B-O-N-D, Bond! Oh, no! Deceased.
What a tease.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got B-O-N-D, says Bond as well.
Yeah.
Bond, oh, no! Deceased.
Bond is full of silly lady names such as Holly Goodhead, Plenty O'Toole and Penelope Smallbone.
Yeah.
Can you give me your best Bond lady name?
Yeah, I thought of some naughty names. Obviously, Chesty Shakes, if you fancied it. Cherry Buster, I thought was quite nice. Hilly Mount, she could be all in jobpers and all that. But I was thinking, because Bond at this point was supposed to be intentionally becoming a bit more gritty and realistic, that they should have gone with a more gritty and realistic. So just a woman called Lisa Fuck. It's just really obvious.
Mm.
What's your name? Fuck. Lisa Fuck.
Sounds like a Europe car.
This is my friend, Wendy Cum. Just literally to the point of what it is. No double entendres, just what it is.
Okay. You are Q.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But what gadgets would you have made for Bond in this film if you had your way?
First thing Q can make for himself is a pair of gloves. I mean, obviously, yeah. There's so many gadgets Bond could have used, even though he didn't use any. Number one, I don't know, just get a jetpack. You've used a jetpack. Get a helicopter. You can get top of that bloody cliff much quicker. Do that much quicker. Come on. Come on, Bond. To be honest, something really simple. Nice little carrier bag for Mr. Bloody in his peanut shells. Bloody mess everywhere.
Yeah.
Bloody, just a little carrier bag for you.
Mm.
Pop your crap in the bag.
Mm.
Then go about your business.
Yeah.
Don't leave pistachio shells everywhere.
Yep.
Just simple things. I think Bond could normally just deal with like something that can automatically print out a waiver form that he just gives to people to sign, so they can't. They just have to keep shtum about it all.
Yeah.
So if he does, if he did have sex with BB, he could just go, "Oh no, sorry, you signed the waiver form." It just prints. It's like in a cummerbund. He just presses a button. Print, sign that. Never happened. It's just like a disclaimer. No, yep. Didn't happen. Wasn't there. Tra la 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 la. Fingers and ears. That sort of thing. Like I said, the best gadget is right at the beginning, a remote-controlled helicopter.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's not even his.
No.
So, Blofeld, who's not Blofeld, parachute? Why not? James done it before. He's leapt off a cliff immediately to reveal an amazing parachute. Blofeld could have had a parachute in his amazing Davros fucking chair on casters.
He is disabled, though.
Yeah, but he could have pulled it with one hand.
Yeah, true.
Cat gets away, I noticed.
So yeah.
Some gun to kill the cat.
Yeah.
It's a pellet gun. Cat's gone as well. That'd piss Blofeld off, wouldn't it?
Would.
So, but yeah, Blofeld could have deployed a parachute and lived. I mean, obviously, it'd be a clunky old drop, and you don't know what he falls in.
No.
You're hoping slurry.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Blofeld's
slurry.
Covered in liquid shit. But yeah, Bond doesn't use anything really in this at all. But again, that's what I like. He sort of just utilises what he's got. He just uses his ski sticks really well, uses the car really well, and he uses a rope and climbs really well. He's just using all the basics.
Yep.
But as I say, he could have done with a helicopter himself to get to the top of the mountain, save a lot of effort.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really think of anything else.
Okay. And finally, who would you have as James Bond next?
You like Henry Cavill, don't you?
I do.
As a Bond. And I think he could be good. The guy who recently played Tarzan, it's a rubbish film.
Oh, Alexander Skarsgård.
Him. I think he's great. I think he'd be really good. And I've seen him in stuff, and he's very funny as well. He does a lot of capery films as well. He's very good at delivering funny lines. So I think he would make a really good Bond.
Mm.
Yeah, even though I couldn't remember his name. He's my definite favourite, folks.
Well, Paul, thank you as always.
Oh, it's a pleasure, John. What?
A pleasure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that sounds wrong.
Yeah, it does sound very odd.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Pub.
Pub.
Brilliant.
Bye, Paul.
Bye.